Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasa Daf Mem. Hey, we are holding on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Gufa, four lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Ali Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. Also by Chani and J.J. Hornblass, in memory of his father, the Honorable Jerome Hornblass, Yaakov Ben Moshe, Zechron Levrach, whose yard site is next week, the Nesham Meshav and Aliyah. Also by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Li'ili Nishmas, Mark's mother, Adelaide Friedman, whose fifth yard site was yesterday, the Nesham Meshav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the Gemara is going to tell us today, first it's going to explain the din that you can't testify for the guy that you sold the field to, meaning you sold the field to somebody, and then a third party comes and is ma'arer and says that it's his field. You can't be one of the edim that testifies that it belongs to the fellow that you sold it to and not to the guy that is being ma'arer. So we're going to explain why that is, what sort of benefit you're going to have from such testimony. Then the Gemara is going to discuss a seller's responsibility to retrieve a chamor that was taken from the buyer by a nachri, meaning I sold you a chamor and then a nachri came and grabbed it from you, took it away from you, and you're not sure, is the nachri in the right? Did he have, was he really the owner of this chamor? Was the nachri just being a bully? So the seller has a responsibility, or we'll see what level of responsibility, under what circumstances the seller has a responsibility to retrieve that chamor from the nachri. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, and the major sugi of the daf is whether an uman can have a chazakah when the item was given to him in front of Edim, and that's going to lead to a discussion whether tzarech lehachziro be'edim or ain't tzarech lehachziro be'edim. When something is given to you in front of Edim, can you just return it without Edim and be believed that you have returned it? Or no, if it was given to you in front of Edim, then you need to be makbid when you give it back that there be Edim there, and otherwise you will not be believed that you have returned it. So that's going to be a discussion between Rabbah and Abaye. There are going to be rayas, and Rava's going to bring a raya in one direction or another. So let's begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page. Gufa, going back to what Shmuel said in yesterday's Daf. Amar Ravin Bar Shmuel Mishmei De Shmuel. Ravin Bar Shmuel said in the name of Shmuel, Hamocha Sadu L'Chaver Shalabach Reis. If a person sells a field and says, look, if this gets taken away from you, you cannot come back to me to have any claim. I'm selling it without any achrayos. There's no responsibility on my end. Ein Meidlo Aleha. The mocher is not allowed to be mitztarif with another aid to be made that field belongs to the buyer and not to this third party who's coming and being ma'arer. Why is the seller not going to be believed? What benefit does he have in the buyer keeping the field? After all, if the field gets confiscated from the buyer has no recourse. He can't come back to me anyway because it was shaloba achrayus. I would rather, as the seller, the buyer still have this property so that when my balei chov, I may have people that I owe money to from before I ever sold this field. When my balei chov want to come and collect, they should have from where to collect. I want them to be able to collect from this field. But if it turns out that my buyer loses the din Torah and the field was never mine to begin with, so then my balei chov will have nowhere to collect from and I'm still going to owe them. So says the Gemara, well, hechi dami, what exactly is the situation over here? If I, as the seller, have other karka that I did not sell, that the balichov are able to collect from, now goes chavis yoyer, in the back of the Gemara, it says, lav dafka, that I have karka, even if I just have metaltalin, but I have enough to pay back my balichov. So if there's, that I have something that my balichov can collect from, alei didei adar, they're never going to go to this lokeach to collect this karka. They're going to come to me anyway. So what difference does it make to me whether he has the karka or he doesn't have the karka? It's never going to be taken from him. It's going to be the balchov is going to come to me. And he deles they are achriti. And if I don't have anywhere else that the balchov is going to collect from, so my nafkalemina, why would I benefit from the balchov collecting from this guy? And keeping the hand the karka in the hands of the lokeach, so the balchov could collect from this guy, even if the lokeach is unable to keep the field and and the Baal Chov is unable to collect, well, he's not going to be able to collect from me either because I don't have anything. So what difference does it make to me whether the Baal Chov is able to collect from the Lokech, is not able to collect from the Lokech? Either way, I don't lose anything because I don't have anything to lose. So I'm certainly not getting this field back, and I don't have anything else. So it shouldn't make a nafka mina to me. So the Ramban points out, who adin if he has karka, but he has a lot of chovos where the karka is not enough to support the chov. Let's say ara achriti doesn't just mean he has no ara achriti, but it's included. Let's say ara achriti is he doesn't have sufficient ara achriti to cover the amount of the chov. So Frek tells us, but wait, in the case where I don't have any other land, and then the bali chov are going to have to come to me, but they're not going to be able to get anything from me anyway, am I really not nogeh b'davar? Meaning, isn't the following a possibility? The bali chov are going to come to me, I'm going to have nothing. So I'm going to send them to this Lokeach. If Lokeach has the property, they'll collect from him. Now the Balichov are happy, and they're never going to ask me anything ever again. The Lokeach has no, there's no Achrayus, Lokeach cannot come back to me. And then the next day, I win the lottery. Now I get to keep all that money because I don't owe anybody. But if the Baal Chov, when he came to collect from me, I couldn't point him to the Lokeach because the Lokeach already lost the land to the Ma'arer. And there is no... So then the next day when I win the lottery, now I got to use some of that money to pay the Baal Chov. So don't I actually benefit from the Lokeach holding on to this land, even though I don't have anything else to pay the Baal Chov right now? My plan is I don't plan to be poor forever. I plan on making a lot of money one day, and when I do, will I still have this Chov on my head? So says Tosos, yes, that is a possibility. We're not going to apostle a guy from Eidos because of such a possibility, because right now you don't have anything else. So even though there's a possibility that down the line, if your situation changes, that you'll make that you'll make some money, that that this will turn out to have been beneficial for you, but there's no clear path toward it being beneficial for you at the moment, and because of that, it's not considered to be nogea be'edus. So anyway, so the Gemara's question is, why is it that when I sell a property, I'm not allowed to be made that property belongs to the lokeach? L'chora, if I sell it shelo b'achrayus, l'chora, I'm not nogea b'davar, because if I have other properties, my Baal Chov's coming to me anyway, he's not going to the Lokeach. And if I don't have other properties, it doesn't matter where my Baal Chov goes, I'm not gonna lose anything because I don't have anything to lose. So says Mar Liolam Delesay Arachriti, that we are talking about a case where the Mocher has nothing else. And the reason he's no Gea B'davar is because the Lokeach he wants the Baal Chov to be able to collect from the Lokeach. Why does he care whether the Baal Chov can collect from the Lokeach? Even if he can't collect from the Lokeach, he can't collect from me either because I don't have anything. Yeah, that's a very unpleasant situation to be in. To be a lover rush of lo yishalim, that I have a Baal Chov, I know I owe the guy money, and I simply cannot pay him back. I would much rather that if I owe the guy money, he feels that he's been paid back, and the lokeach will be the one to lose out. That's how the way all the Rishonim explain is that I don't want to be a lover rush of lo yishalim doesn't mean that I stam don't want to be a rasha klapi shamaya. It means that when I have business dealings with somebody, I don't want that guy to think that I'm not good for the money. That he lent me money and people are, and he's going to be choshed me that I'm a rasha, that I'm not paying back the money. How do I know that it's not latzei sidei shamayim? Because the whole point over here is that we're assuming he's willing to be made a sheker in order to make sure that the Baal Chov gets paid back. So if we're being choshed that he's willing to be made a sheker, so he's not concerned about whether up in Shemayim he's considered to be a tzaddik or not. To be made sheker, he's obviously not a tzaddik up in Shemayim. So clearly it's about his own reputation. So ask the Gemara, well, what benefit does the Mocher have in keeping the field with the Lokeach? Sof, l'gabi yidach nami lov harash of lo yishalimu. What do you mean? But that, now you're a lov harash of lo yishalimu, l'gabi the Lokeach. Here I sold this guy a piece of property. Next day it got taken away from him by my Baal Chov. So I'm going to be a lov harash of lo yishalimu regardless. Why does it make a difference? Why would I be nogea be'edus to want to keep this property in the hands of the Lokeach, so that my Baal Chov could take it away from the Lokeach, so that I won't be a lover rush of Lo Yishalim? If my Baal Chov does take it away from the Lokeach, I will be a lover rush of Lo Yishalim, klape the Lokeach. So the Rishonim are all bothered by what seems like an obvious kasha over here. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they say, what do you mean? Adraba, that's more of a reason why you're Nogeh Abdavar. Because you're going to be made Neged the Ma'arer. So, I mean, what's happening over here? You're not just being made that this field belongs to the Lokeh, you're being made that it belongs to the Lokeh and not the Ma'arer, because it's about to be taken away from the Lokeh, not by your Balchov. It's about to be taken away from the Lokeh by somebody else, by a third party anyway. So, L'chora, you're no Gabbadov, you're going to be made that it belongs to the Lokeh, so that the Lokeh will not view you as a Lover Russia. And even if after it gets collected from the Balchov, you're going to remain a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim, Klape the Lokeh, I'd rather be a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim to one person than to be a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim to two people. Meaning, me man of Shach, I'm a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim to the Lokeach, because he's definitely not ending up with it. Either the Ma'arer is taking it from him right now, or my Balchov is going to take it from him eventually. So I'm going to be a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim, Klape the Lokeach anyway. The question is, am I also going to be a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim, Klape the Balchov? So I'm trying to avoid that. So what kind of kash is the Gemara asking? That sof, anyway, you'll be a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim. So that's why the Rishonim point out that the Gemara is asking on Shmuel, why do we say that he's choshesh that we're going to be made sheker in order not to be a Lover Russia, Klapei the Balchov? We don't even know if there is a Balchov. So it would be better to say that we're choshesh is going to be made sheker in order that the Lokeach, he won't be a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim, Klapei the Lokeach himself. Meaning that should be the real meaning. It could be that there is no Balchov. So maybe the whole reason I'm trying to make it that this Lokeach should be able to keep this karka is because I don't want to be a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim to the Lokeach. And that's really the Gemara's kasha. So as the Gemara, the Amalei, nah, he's not worried about being a Lover Russia of Lo Yishalim to the Lokeach, because he never gave the Lokeach any guarantee. Lachi, he could say to him, Lachi zvina lach shalo b'achrayus. Why do you think I sold it to you shalo b'achrayus? Normally, karka gets sold with achrayus. I sold it to you shalo b'achrayus, and you probably paid a lower price because of that, because you understood the risk. And you were hoping that no one would ever take it away from you, but sorry, someone took it away from you. That's the price you pay for buying a shloba achrayus. I don't feel that that's dishonest if I sold him something and I made it very clear that there's no achrayus on that. But it is dishonest if I borrow money from somebody and I don't pay them back, because there's always an understanding that when I borrow money, I'm supposed to pay them back. So that is the explanation of this din as to why it is when I sell property to somebody, I am not able to be made that the property belongs to them. So now the Gemara says a different thing. Machriz Rava, Rava announced publicly Vitem Rav Papa, or maybe Rav Papa darshened it, to Salkin the Elo Dunachtin Latata, anyone who came from Bavel to Yisrael, or anyone who went from Yisrael to Bavel, any Talmud Chacham that traveled back and forth and has exposure to other Talmud Chacham, tell me the din in the following case. Hai Bar Yisrael, the Zabun Lechamer Li Yisrael Chavrei, a Jewish person who sells a Chamor, Chamra in Shas means one of two things, sometimes it means wine, sometimes it means a donkey. Over here it means a donkey. So a person sells a chamor to his friend, and a guy who comes and takes that chamor from the guy that I sold it to, dinahu demaftzi leminei. The halacha is that the mocher has to save the lokeach from that guy. The lashon of maftzi is from a paskin Tehillim kuf mem dalid, hapotza es dover avdo mecherev ra'a. It means that he's, the Radak says, hapotza es dover avdo mecherev ra'a. What does it mean? He was potza dover avdo from the sword, from the evil sword. It means he saved dover avdo, to matzil dover avdo. So de maftzi lemine, that the din is that you have to save him from the guy, meaning the mocher has to figure out a way, either give the keach back his money, or get the chamor back for him and give him back the chamor. So the mocher will have to be tovea, the goy in din, and maybe he'll be able to get the chamor back and give it back to the lokeach. Velo amaran, but that idea that it's the mocher's responsibility, meaning I don't understand, why should that be my problem? I sell you a car today, and then in 5 years from now, the car is sitting in your driveway, and you know, some local thieves come and they steal the car. So you're going to come back to me that it's my problem, that I have to deal. I sold you the car, so it's your, I mean, this guy, he's got issues with you. So you know, the point over here is that the lokeach isn't certain that the guy is wrong. The guy didn't just come steal the car out of his driveway. The guy claimed it was his, and that I had no right to sell it to you in the first place. So it's the mocher's responsibility. When do we assume it might be the mocher's responsibility? So now the Gemara qualifies it. V'lo amaran ela she'eno makir bashi bas kamaro. The mocher's responsibility is only in a case where the lokeach does not recognize that this chamor is the bas of a chamor that belongs to the mocher. So I don't know for sure that this mocher ever really owned this chamor. Aval makir bashi bas chamoro, but if the lokeach realizes that, yes, this belonged to the mocher, and this guy that took it away from me is just, he's an anos, he's a hoodlum, he's going and he's just stealing stuff. So then lo, then it's not the mocher's responsibility, then it's the car stolen out of the driveway. It's just a bunch of ganavim that are taking something. It has nothing to do with the mocher. But if I never knew that this chamor ever belonged to the mocher, now I have a strong indicator that maybe it didn't, and maybe he sold me something that wasn't his, and maybe the guy is right. And a further qualification: v'lo amaran el delo anisle l'didei l'ukfa. The whole din that it's the mocher's problem is what happened. The guy came. He saw this chamor with a saddle on its back. He threw the saddle off its back, left it for the lokeach, and took the chamor. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just steal the saddle as well? So the indication is that the guy doesn't claim the saddle is his. Well, if he's just stamaganov, just take whatever you can, right? Meaning when the guy steals the car out of your driveway, he doesn't say, "Ah, oh, this water bottle isn't mine, so I'm going to leave it here." And he doesn't start cleaning it out of the items that he knows doesn't belong to him. If he's stealing, he's stealing. So the fact that he left the saddle is an indication that he really believes that the chamor is his. Aval honestly, the didei lukva. But if he steals the saddle together with the chamor, lo, then the mocher has no responsibility, because then it's clear that the guy is just a ganav. That's what the Rashbam writes. The whole reason of all animals to pick, why are we stealing a chamor? Why not steal a para? I would think a para is an even more valuable animal than a chamor. It will give you milk for a while, and then when it can no longer give you milk, it will give you meat, right? So why not mention a para? So it's because paras don't have saddles, and the Gemara wanted to make this chiluk between the saddle, between when he steals the saddle and he doesn't steal the saddle. So that's where the Rashbam, that's how the Rashbam explains why we pick a chamor. And the assumption is that it's obvious that the saddle doesn't also belong to the guy. And that's true even if you don't recognize the saddle as having belonged to the Jew that you bought it from, but there's no way the guy would know that, because saddles, apparently, the Ritva writes, all look the same. So the guy would never know that it was his saddle or not his saddle, so because they all look the same. So if he stole the animal with the saddle, then you see he has no, there's no moral claim over here. He's taking something that he for sure doesn't know to be his, and therefore we assume he doesn't know the donkey to belong to him either. But Amemar disagrees, and he says the mocher has no responsibility over here. Amemar amar afilu leka kalhani. Even if you don't know that the chamor ever belonged to the mocher, it's not the bas chamor of the mocher, and the guy stole only the chamor and not the saddle, lo, it's not the mocher's responsibility to handle it. My time, well, what's the reason that it's not the mocher's responsibility? The lokeach knows that a stam guy is an anas, he'll steal things and will be dishonest. Shneimar, because the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Asher piyam diber shav v'yaminam yamin sheker." Meaning, you have two possibilities: either the Jewish guy that sold you the donkey was really a ganav and he sold you something that doesn't belong to him, or the guy that took it away from you is really the ganav. You cannot assume that it's the Jew that's the ganav in that case. Pitting one against the other, where somebody was dishonest with you over here, you have to assume asher piyam diber shav v'yaminam yamin sheker, that Jews have an inherent honesty, and the dishonesty would be attributed to the non-Jew, and therefore it does not become the mocher's responsibility to handle it. I'm always reminded of Moshe's tshuva. Moshe was asked once about yeshiva guys that wanted to steal the answers to a Regents exam, a New York State Regents exam, And they said, you know, well, we'll gain a lot of time to learn because we're not going to have to study for the region. So we'll be able to sort of Moshe, after explaining why that's ridiculous, said at the end, but I wouldn't get too nervous that this is true, that there are actually any yeshiva guys that think this way, because we know that there's an inherent honesty in the Jewish people, and that obviously anti-Semites are making up rumors that that they would do this, and that they would you have to assume an inherent honesty in the Jewish people, which I don't know if he really felt that way or if he was just trying to give mussar that you would assume that. Okay, so the Mishnah had said that uman ein lo chazaka, that if a person is an uman, meaning he's somebody, you go to the tailor and you say, can I have my suit back? And he says, your suit? It's my suit. Haraya, I have it right here in my store. If I'm muktzuk in it, so it's mine. No, an uman doesn't have a chazaka when he has a shop full of things that he's fixing, because you're always giving things to an uman, and he's always going to hold on to it. So that's the assumption. So the assumption is that he doesn't have a chazaka. The Ramban assumes that the Mishnah is not talking about this. The Rashbam assumes that we're talking about a chazaka of just being muchzak in it, the immediate chazaka they have a metaltalin. The Ramban assumes that the Mishnah was talking about a cheskas gimel shanim, that it was talking about a chazaka of a 3-year chazaka. And the Gemara right away is going to jump right into cheskas metaltalin, which is immediate. He says, because we're going to see in a brisa on Amud Beis, ra'a avdo biyad uman, a case where you have an eved that's by an uman, and by an eved there's cheskas gimel shanim, not an immediate chazaka, even though avadim are metaltalin. So that's why the Gemara wants to jump into a conversation about metaltalin, even though that wasn't at all the conversation in the Mishnah. Now, when the Mishnah says uman ein lo chazaka, we were really talking about an uman on karka, and it's cheskas gimel shanim, not an uman on metaltalin, the way the Rashbam understands. The Yad Ramah says the same. He says, like the Ramban, not like the Rashbam, that the Mishnah, again, the Gemara is going to be clear that we're talking about metaltalin, we're talking about a chazaka right away. Question is that the Mishnah, that's our starting point, was that talking about a cheskas gimel shanim, or is that talking about the immediate chazaka that one has on metaltalin? So that's what the Ramban says. The Mishnah was talking about a cheskas gimel shanim. What do you mean, an uman having a cheskas gimel shanim? So if you recall, we mentioned that the Yad Ramah points out that it could happen where you hire a person to paint your house or to work on to build your house. So he's an uman, he's a craftsman, but it was typical that he would move into the property while he was working. So he moved in for 3 years as he's building this building for you. So that's what we say, ein lo chazaka, that just because he's been there for 3 years, he does not have a cheskas gimel shanim on that property. So Amar Rabba lo shanu elo shemasalo be'edim. The idea that an uman does not have a chazaka on an object, let's assume like the Rashbam, because everyone's going to assume that we're talking about metaltalin, henceforth we're talking about metaltalin. The idea that an uman does not have chazaka on metaltalin that's in his rishus, and he's not believed to say that it belongs to him when someone else comes and claims that it belongs to them, that's only shemasar lo bifnei eden, that the tovea, the one who's claiming that this object belongs to him, had given it to this uman in front of eden, that they saw that it was given over in front of eden to fix it. Avol masar lo shelo be'eden, but it was given to him not in front of Edim. So mitoch shiyachal lomer lo yidvar me'olam, since the uman could say, I don't even know what you're talking about, this never happened, this isn't your object, it's my object, and it'd be Neman, because there are no Edim that the Toveya ever gave him the object. So if the uman claims, I bought it from you, he'd also be believed, because he could have just as easily said that lahadam, that it's mine, that it was never yours. Now, l'chor, it's difficult, because if there are Edim that saw that the Toveya gave the object to the Uman, why does the Mishnah say that it's dafka by an Uman that it's Ein Lo Chazaka? Even if you give it to anybody, it's Ein Lo Chazaka, because I know that this item used to belong to this Toveya, and we saw the Toveya had given it to this person. So forget about it being an Uman. We know that normally the whole idea of Chazaka is, if I'm holding it, it's probably mine. But if we know that it wasn't yours, we know that someone gave it to you, so your whole chazaka falls away. What does this have to do with an uman? So the Tosos says, we're talking about that the Edom saw that he gave him the object, but he didn't say beferish whether he was giving it betaras mecher or betaras pikadon. So by an uman where it's the derech to give it to him to fix, it's not the derech to give it to him as a gift, right? You normally don't see people walking into the dry cleaners with a bunch of shirts as a gift to the dry cleaner, right? I mean, it's normally the derech is to give it to him to fix. But if you see someone bringing items to his neighbor, so then it might be a gift. Why else is he bringing clothing to his neighbor? Oh, these are my hand-me-downs for your kids, for whatever, right? So so that happens all the time. So that's the chiluk between the uman and the neighbor. That's what Tosfos suggests over here in Dibra Maskal Aval. So again, so Rabbi's chiddush is the idea that an uman does not have a chazaka is only if the guy gave it to the uman in front of Eidim. But if the guy never gave it to the uman in front of Eidim, the uman can say, I bought this migo, that he could have said, you never gave it to me in the first place, it was always mine. So Abaye says back to Rabba that based on what you're saying, if the Tovea gave the uman the object in front of Eidim, even though the Eidim didn't see right now that the uman has the object, he's not going to be believed to say that the object belongs to him. But if the Tovea did not give the object in front of Eidim, the uman would be believed to say that he had purchased this object, even though Eidim see that he's still holding on to it, because he could have said that he didn't buy it from him, he bought it from someone else. Ihachi, if that's the case, afilu be'edim, even when the object was given in front of Eidim, nami, still you could say, mitok shiyocha lomarlo, since the uman could have said to the Tovea that, yeah, you gave me this object to fix, but I gave it back to you, and therefore I no longer have it. When he says that he purchased it and I still do have it, he should be believed. Meaning, if you, Rabba, are going to tie it, that whenever the human has a migo, you're going to believe him that he had purchased this item and that it belongs to him. See, even if it was given to him in front of Adam, he has a migo. Migo that he could have said, I gave it back to you already and I don't have it anymore. Believe him that he still does have it, but that it belongs to him. So Rabba. So Rabba responded, no, he doesn't have a migo in that case. Mi savritam. You think he'd be believed to say, I gave it back to you? That would assume that when Reuven gives something to Shimon in front of Edom, Shimon does not need to return it in front of Edom. And therefore, yes, Shimon can say, oh, I gave it back to you, and we won't know any better. But lo salkadaitach ella hamafkeres chaver be'edim tzorach la'achzelo be'edim. The halacha is not that way. The halacha is that if someone gives you something in front of Edim, you are not believed to say you returned it unless you return it in front of Edim. So therefore, the uman is not going to have a migo over here, because what's your migo? That he already gave it back? Where are the Edim that you already gave it back? So therefore he would not have a migo. So that is challenge number one to Rabbah, and Rabbah's response to the challenge. Now the Gemara has challenge number two against Rabbah. Meisve Abaye challenges Rabbah from a brisa, ra'a avdo bialuman, a person sees his eved in the hands of an uman, who's, what's an uman doing with the eved? The Rashbam writes, lelamdo umnus, the uman is, he's a trainer, he's training this guy had to do a particular profession so that he could be a better Eved for his master. The Mi'iri says that no, by an Uman it means he's at a doctor, he's at a Rofe to be Merape him. The Rashbam also writes that it could be that the Eved is by this Uman for 3 years, but less than 3 years, it wouldn't work. He wouldn't be Neman to say that he was Kona, because he needed 3 year Chazaka on the Eved. And no one, even if it wasn't an Uman, he wouldn't have a chazaka, because never you always need a chazkas gimel shanim. The Ritva, however, says that we're talking about an eved katan, where you don't need a chazkas gimel shanim, he would have a din of other metaltlin. But anyway, the case is, in this brisa, a guy sees that his eved is by an uman, vitaliso biar koves, or his clothing is by the dry cleaners, amar lo, so the person says to the uman or to the koves, mativo etzlecha, why is my eved or my talis in your possession? So he says, what do you mean? Atamachartuli, atanasatuli bim matana. You sold it to me. You gave it to me as a matana, one or the other. He doesn't say both. Lo amar klum. So then we don't believe the uman, because he's an uman. He doesn't have a chazaka. He's not neman to say that he purchased all of the clothing in the dry cleaner. He's not neman to say that he purchased all of the clothing that's in his dry cleaning shop, because people give them things to fix and to clean and to do, not to keep. But if the case is a little different, when he's challenged, he says, why do you have my eved? Why do you have my beged? So he responds, not that you sold it to me or you gave it to me, but befanai amarta lo lemochro velitno li b'matana dvarav kayamin, that you, in front of me, you told somebody else to sell it to me or to give it to me as a matana. So I didn't even get it from you. I got it from a third party with your instructions. So then we believe the uman, that it's his. Well, maishna reisha, maishna seifa. What difference does it make if there's a third party involved or not a third party involved? Either way, the tovea is tining the same taina. It's just that in the seifa, the uman is saying that someone else gave it to me or someone else sold it to me with your approval. Approval. Why is that any different than the Reisha, where he says, you gave it to me or you sold it to me? So Amar Rabba, Rabba explains, Seifa biyotzi mitach sidei acher, that in the Seifa, we're not talking about a case where you see the Eved by the Uman or the Beged by the Kobes, like we have in the Reisha. No, the Eved or the Beged is by a third party, and the Tovea sees it by that third party, and he says, what's it doing by you? V'kamerlei, and that third party, v'kamerlei acher, that third party says to the Tovea, Bifanai amarta lo to the uman lemochav l'ilu matana. It's not that the guy is being tovea the uman. He goes in the dry cleaning shop and says, why do you have my suit? And the dry cleaner says, well, I saw you told Shimon to sell it to me. And the case is he goes into Shimon's house and says, why do you have my suit in your house? He says, what do you mean? It was at the dry cleaner and we were there together and you told the dry cleaner, instead of giving it back to you, to give it back to me. So that's why I have it. So that's the case. And Migudi by Amalei Minachs Vinte. Oh, if the Tovea only saw it in his neighbor's house and he's asking him, why you have it in my house? So the neighbor could have just said, what do you mean, why do I have it in my house? I bought it from you, and he'd be believed. So Ki Amalei Nami, so when instead of saying, I bought it from you, he says, Bifanai Amarta Lo Lemochro, that I saw that in front of my face, you told the Uman to give it back to me. Remember when we were in the dry cleaning shop and you told the Uman that you told the dry cleaner instead of giving it to you to give it to me because I told you I don't have a suit for Yantif, so you told him to give it to me. What a great act of chesed, Yashukach, thank you, but no thanks for making the tefiyah amina. But that, so Dvar of Kayam and Umahemin, then he's going to be believed, even though originally he was Moda that he gave it to an Uman. So why is this Akasha? So Katani Mihas, it says, Katani Mihas Reisha, the Reisha of the Brisa says, the Ra'a, that if you saw the item by the Uman is not going to be believed to say that it belongs to him. Well, hey, Chidami, what exactly is are the further details of that case? Idi ike edim, if there were edim that this item was given to the Uman, lamali ra'a, then why do you need that he saw the object in the Uman's shop right now? The Uman shouldn't be believed anyway. Nesi edim v'nishkal, the Tovea could bring edim that he gave this object to be fixed and let him take back the item. Ella lav deleka edim, so must be that the Brice is talking about a case where there was no edim that the object was ever given to the Uman to fix. And nevertheless, when the Tovea sees the object by the Uman, he's able to get it back from him. And the Uman cannot say that I have purchased this item. So that's a kasha on Rabbah, because Rabbah had said when there were no edim at the original point of giving it to the Uman is neman to say that he had purchased it, whether you see it biyad ha'uman or you don't see it biyad ha'uman. So again, so this is challenge number two on Rabbah, that when Rabbah said that when the Mishnah says an Uman does not have a chazaka, that's only if it's masalo be'edim. But lo masalo be'edim, the Uman's always going to be believed, because he could have said lahadam, or he could have said lukuchi biyadi, and therefore he's believed to say lukuchi biyadi. And that's true whether we know right now it's in the Uman's shop, or we don't know right now that it's in the Uman's shop. And over here you see that there's leka edim, and the guy is able to get it back from the Uman. The Uman is not neman with the migo. So says Gemara, low. You're explaining the Brisa all wrong. The Brisa is not talking about a case where there were no edim. Li olam di'ika edim. That really we're talking about a case if there were no edim that the object was ever given to the Uman, even though the Tovea sees the Uman with the object right now, you can't get it back from him. And the Uman would be neman to say that he bought it, because he could have said that he never took it in the first place. But we're talking about a case di'ika edim, that there were edim that at the time that he gave the object to the Uman, and still the Tovea is not able to get the object back from the Uman unless he sees it biyada Uman. Because otherwise, the Uman would be nemun to say that he bought it mitok hayachalom erachzartiv lach with the migo that he could have said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have it anymore. I gave it back to you already. So with that migo, the Uman would have been believed. So even if there are Edim that you gave it to him, but you don't know that the Edim that the Uman has it right now, the Uman would be able to keep it. The Uman, even though he acknowledges that he has it right now, would be able to keep it because of a migo that he could have said that he no longer has it right now. So you need two things in order to retrieve your item. You need Edim that you gave it to him, and you need to know that he still has it right now. Now, only when you have both of those things can you get your item back. But if there are no Edim, you're not going to get it back. The Uman has a migo, and if there are Edim, but we don't see that the Uman has it, the Uman has a migo again, and you're not going to be able to get it back from him. Okay, so now Abaye asks, how can you say that if you don't see the object in the Uman's hands, even though there are Edim, the Uman is Neman to say that he purchased the object, because he could have said, but wait, remember in the previous challenge against you, Rabbah, you're the one that said, I'm afkin it's a chavir beidim. Sarach lepar obeidim. What do you mean the Uman could have said, I already gave it back to you? If it was given to you with Edim, then you have to give it back in front of Edim. You can't just say, I already gave it back to you. So Rabbah responds to Abai, you're right. I did say, I'm afkin it's a chavir beidim, they have to give in front of Edim. But Hadribi, I changed my mind. And I no longer think that way. I no longer think you have to give it back in front of Edim, and therefore, if you don't see the object by the Uman could say Echzar Tavlach, even though there are no Edim that Echzar Tavlach, and because he'd be Neman to say Echzar Tavlach, he's Neman to say that he purchased the object right now. Okay, so that was challenge number two against Rabbah, and the response to the challenge. Now we have challenge number three against Rabbah, and this, not against Rabbah, we have a third Raya, this one works in Rabbah's favor, and against Abba. So Masiv Rava Lisiyue L'Rabba, Rava brings up a brisa that's going to help Rabba and is going to be a kasha on the sheet of Abaye. So again, Abaye holds that if you see the object in the Uman's hand, then the Uman is not believed, even if there were no Edim on the original Mesira, and there's going to be a raya to Rabba that the Uman is Neman. If there were no Edim on the original Mesira, the Uman has a migo. And here's the brisa. Hanosin Talisa L'Uman. Someone gives his beged to an Uman to fix. So he brings it to the tailor. And after he fixes it and he comes to pay him, Uman Omer Shtayim Katsatzli. The tailor says, that will cost you $20. Va'alo Omer Lo Katsatzli Alachas. And the guy says, wait, when I brought it in, you told me it's only $10, not $20. So Kolzman Shatalis Bial Uman Al Balabais Laviraya. So long as the Uman is still holding on to the talis, it's the Balabais is going to have to bring Edim that it was only a $10 fee. And the Uman does not have to give back the beged until he's able to, until the guy either pays the $20 or brings Edim that it was only a $10 fee, because the Uman is Neman that it was a $20 fee, because if he wanted, he could have said that I purchased this item, because after all the Uman is holding on to the beged. So up until the value of the beged, unless what he's asking for is a fee that's worth more than the value of the beged, he can hold on to the beged. And Motzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. But Nisanalo, but if the Uman already gave it to him, so then Bizmano, if it's during the Zman that there were Kaveya that he has to pay him, so Nishba Benotel, the Uman would swear that he's owed $20, and he would get the $20, because the Baal HaBeged is Moda that he owes something, so it's a case of Moda B'miksas. Normally a Moda B'miksas is Chai V'Shvua, but the Halacha is that a Sachir that's Tovea from a Baal HaBayis, his wages on the day that he's owed those wages and the day that he's supposed to pay, and the Baal HaBayis is only Moda B'miksas, and therefore is Chai V'Shvua, so it's a din that the Baal HaBayis is not Nishba. We flip the Shvua over to the Sachir. So here also, so we flip the Shvua over to the Uman. Why are we flipping Shvuas? Why doesn't the guy just take a Shvua? So that's a Gemara Masech Shvua Staf Mem Hey, that we assume a Baal HaBayis is Tarun B'Melachto. He's not going to be able to keep track of everything, so we can't really trust his Shvua, so we flip the Shvua. But Avr Zmano, once the Zman that there were Kaveya between them has passed, and the sun has already set on that day, and it's only and only then the Baal HaBeged gives him the $10, so then the Uman is considered to be Motzi from the Baal HaBeged. HaMotzi Mechaver, Allah. And he's going to have to bring a raya. Well, hey, Chidami, what exactly is the case? Idi ike edim. If there were edim when he saw that he gave the beggar to the uman, some astama, they probably heard what the price was. Luxi edim my kaamri. Why don't we just ask the edim what the price was? Elalav deleka edim. It must be that there were no edim at the time that he gave the clothing into the cleaners or into the tailor. V'katani uman mehaman, and the uman is believed that it was $20. That was the price. Migo di bayamale lukuchi biyadi. Migo that he could have said that it was lukuchi biyadi mehaman nami aigre. So he's believed about what the cost is going to be as well. So you see that when there's no edim on the mesira, the uman is believed with a migo, and that's directly against Abaye. That Abaye holds that if right now we see that the uman has the object, the uman is not neman with the migo, even when there are no edim on the mesira. But this is exactly like Rabbah, that he in fact does have a migo. So it says, well, no, it's not a raya. The olam deleka edim. Really, there are no edim. Vuhu delo ra'a. But maybe the case is that we don't see that the uman has the beged right now, and therefore even Abaye will be moda that he'd be neman with the migo. Okay. So tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Masiv on the fourth line. Everyone have a great day.